Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Well, it's crazy, right, Todd? I mean, we batch record these things, and I almost don't really want to do that anymore because things are just so rapidly changing.
Yes.
Because I know we, at least a month or so ago, released an episode around launching a campus downtown. And I was talking about that and how we were, I mean, we were like this close to signing a lease. And then COVID-19 coronavirus hit, and all that is now on hold. And I've no idea what even the future of multi-site is going to look like, because revenue's down. And I mean, the money that we had set aside for our multiplication initiatives, I mean, that's gonna have to go into building and gonna have to get, I mean, we're, I mean, reserves, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for our finance team and our, just our entire team, and the fact that we had reserves. I know not every church has reserves, but even in light of all that, it's just, If this lasts till December, I mean, who knows economically what the state, I mean, we're trying to do these contingency plans. Our exec pastor of operations is brilliant. I mean, we have three budgets. If we hit 40%, if we have 60, if we hit 60%, and if we hit 80% of our budget, and we're actively planning these scenarios, and we're trying to narrow in the gap every week we get offering, and trying to be like, okay, so now, we're in light of this last week's, it was like, okay, we're going to plan for 40, 60, and 70. You know, we're not going to hit 80. So now what? Okay. And then what? And then, oh, the government packages come out. Okay. And now what? So he has his work cut out for him. I love the guy. But I just honestly, Todd, I have no idea what the future of multi-site is going to look like for our church and for the church in North America. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, okay, so one of the things that I will say that will definitely come out of this is more churches will have an internet campus. Mm-hmm. And maybe even treat it like it is a campus. Secondly, I think people will become more accustomed to seeing their pastor on a screen, which from a multi-site perspective is a good thing, because you hear all the time, well, you know, there's the argument of live preaching or video, and that's not going to go away. But if you're a video person, then man, you just, I think more people are going to be open to that when this is all said and done. The other thing that honestly has the potential to hurt both multi-site and a traditional, you know, one campus church alike, as well as our church plans, is that we have seen in the last 30, 40 years, you know, church attendance go from two or three times a week to two or three times a month. What will the new normal be when people, when things, you know, kind of kick back up and we're able to meet together and gather together again? Will people come with the same frequency as they did before, or will they be more apt to take advantage of, you know, either an online campus that is their church, or maybe even another one that they found during this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah. I think it's going to be good and bad for churches.
Yeah.
And I think how you handle it during this time is a big deal.
Yeah. There are a lot of, squirrels that we can chase, a lot of threads that we can move down on. Cause on the one, in light of all of this, right, on the one hand, there's the, how much money our church is going to have toward new initiatives when they're bleeding right now, and how long that bleed right. is. And yes, I'm We're trying to plan that we don't need to go into debt, but it's pretty much going to be like, okay, we're planning on using up all our reserves, but we're trying not to go into debt because we already owe money on a building that, I mean, we built a brand new building last fall. We finished it up and we're trying to pay that off, right? So there's that side of every church has a different financial scenario. But the other thing I wonder is how many churches are going to close? Because we've talked a lot about replant, you know, right? There's that whole sense of mergers and a lot of dying churches, you know, with a group of five or six people holding on, or a church living off of its endowment. And in light of all this, how many of these churches are actually going to close their doors? And would it be wise to for churches to actually go and start campuses in those buildings, taking on that debt when the internet reality, you know, the normalization of church at home is only going to increase? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And let's be honest, that is not a new problem. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. You're a child of the 90s. And there were plenty
I'm a child of the 80s.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, I was born in 1975. So
yeah, I was born in the 80s. So
yes, you were born in the 80s. I was a child in the 80s.
I was a child in the 80s too. Anyways, keep on going.
The point is, there were plenty of opportunities on the good old TV that were at people's disposal then to do quote unquote church from home, which is not really possible in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. But whatever. The big thing that I think is going to result is what some of the mid-size and larger churches may have more problems getting through this than smaller churches. Some of your smaller churches, there's a single staff person. They're bivocational in many instances. It's a lot easier to float a budget that is even 50% of your budget if there's just one guy, mm-hmm. than it is a 50% budget when you have 100 guys or yes. even 50 guys or 15 or 5. I mean, the economic realities there and the trade-offs are different.
Okay. Yeah. Keep on going.
I'm not as concerned about a lot of our, you know, meat and potatoes, churches that are out in, the rural areas. They're going to get through it together from a community standpoint because they already know each other. Mm. Whereas some of our larger churches that maybe I attend, but I'm not as known. Mm-hmm. I think they have a bigger struggle. Now they're doing internet campus way better than some of the smaller churches. I'll give you that. However, I think you're going to see some churches really step it up, and they're going to have more people than others. So, like, one of my friends is Jason Powell at Harvest. Their online church crashed CHOP. Hmm. So even more than church online platform that Life Church does, they have it available for free. If you haven't ever looked at that and you aren't having hundreds of thousands of people, it's a great, great tool. But they crashed CHOP and had to move to Arena. And, you know, they're having like 300,000 people come online, which means those people aren't watching something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know the question is really about multi-site. I think regardless of what happens, multi-site is going to continue. I just don't think people are going to put as much risk of investment into it. And you're going to see some of the things that back in the olden days, Seacoast were the kings of what I would say was brown bag multi-site, meaning they did it cheaply. They did a minimum viable, you know, kind of campus. And then once it was successful, they would put more into it and you know, it got more innovative. Whereas when multi-site started to become really popular, especially a lot of our legacy churches that did have the money, man, they put a lot of money into these campuses, and some of them aren't breaking even. So that's a tremendous burden for a mid-size or larger church, legacy or not.
Yeah. Hey, let's, so I want to chase a couple more things down in light of what you just said, but let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today and we'll get right back into it. Launching a new church or campus is exciting work, but it can also be hard work and the details can quickly become overwhelming. Getting incorporated, building your launch team, finding a location, marketing the launch, there are so many things to do. When you partner with Portable Church, they help you navigate all of the gear you'll need so you don't have to get bogged down with the logistical details now or bad systems later. They free you up to focus on what you, as the pastor, have been created to do. Hear God's direction, cultivate a team of disciple makers, and share Jesus with the community. If you're thinking of launching in this year or next, we encourage you to check them out at portablechurch.com/lifeway. So, Todd, it's interesting because economically we have a lot of stores, a lot of shops shutting down. And it's interesting to even think what the coffee, you know, let's just talk about coffee, for example. How is Starbucks? How is Dunkin' Donuts? How is Tim Hortons? How are these big chains going to weather the storm differently? How are they going to be differently compared to some of these mom and pop shops or these hipster coffee shops that are one location or two location and, you know, Nashville Crema or Barista Parlor or, you know, just walk down your city list wherever you live and there are these kind of cool, trendy coffee shops popping up. So I guess the question is, when you think about those two organizations, just as an example, I wonder which ones are going to be able to better weather the storm. And conversely, when you think about the church and you think about a smaller single site church who is staff light, and then you have another larger church that is staff heavy, obviously the staff heavier church is going to have to go through more layoffs than the staff lighter church. But I just, it's just an interesting thing to think about because I just wonder how many of these staff light churches are going to be able to weather the storm without going into a significant amount of debt. So I honestly, Todd, I don't think a better live stream is going to cause someone to change their churches, especially if they're invested, because they don't know anyone on that stream. It's impersonal.
Totally. But I'm telling you, I think that if you're in a larger church setting and you are not known and you are not connected, if your church has been building an audience instead of an army, you're in trouble. And if you don't shift to building an army during this time, you could potentially be in trouble because if the connection is somewhat shallow, mm-hmm. in my opinion, then you're in more trouble than, and somebody's more likely to, you know, watch somebody else. Now on Sunday morning, at my house, we're watching two or three services because I'm wanting to see how different people are handling things. My church is not the most innovative, but I love my pastor's sermons. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, guys, you all know, I haven't been at McLean for 7 years, but That's still, it's not my baby anymore by any stretch, but I'm always going to be watching to see what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, I will always have an opinion as well.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, let's continue the conversation as the weeks and months go by, because I think this is going to be something that we need to keep our pulse on. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. If you have a question that you would love for us to address, just if you're on your mobile device, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. Or if you're on your computer, go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and we would love to answer it. All right. We will catch you next time.